Friends, Charlene has had this beautiful gift that God has given her of having different experiences with the souls in purgatory, including some people that we may know, like Judy Garland, for instance. But before we get into some of that, Charlene, tell us a little bit about yourself, your faith, and then when did some of these things start happening and how did they progress?
Well, I was not raised Catholic. Oops, sorry. I have a little fan going here. I wasn't raised Catholic, so I'm a Catholic convert. And I think it was 2009 when I converted. And it didn't start until a few years after. It started when I listened to a video of Sandra Abrahams. And you can find her videos on YouTube, although they're kind of old, but you can listen to them. And
just so I looked her up, but give us like the nutshell version. Who's Sandra?
She's a woman. I think she lives I want to say she lives in like Louisiana. I'm not sure, but she had a near-death experience. And in that near-death experience, she was able to see purgatory. I think it was her angel that took her to see purgatory. Yeah. And a little bit of heaven, I think. And I believe she saw hell, but it was her testimony on purgatory that really just captured me, because being a new Catholic, you know, you learn things in catechism class, you know, the RCIA, but I had no idea. And it just touched me so much. And then I started thinking about all of my dead relatives. And I thought of them suffering, you know, like when you see somebody, let's say on the side of the road, and you know they're hurt, you're going to stop and you're going to see if you can help them, you know? Yeah. And I looked at it like that. I looked at my relatives suffering in some way, you know, and I didn't even know the rosary then. And I just knew, I think, the Hail Mary and the Our Father, of course. You know, I grew up Christian. My parents instilled a good, healthy relation, good, healthy morals with me and taught me the Our Father and things like that. Yeah. Went to church, but not all the time. So I knew the Our Father and I knew the Hail Mary. And so I would fall asleep in tears crying for them. And I would go down every relative that I knew that passed. And I did this for a couple of weeks. And then the next thing that happened was I started waking up and I started blurting out names of people that I didn't know. That never happened to me before. So
some of those people that were well known, but you didn't know them personally, or they were just, as far as you knew, random people?
They were just random people.
Yeah.
Names of men and women, both people I didn't know. And I thought at first it was strange. I can't remember how it kind of clicked, but I know my guardian angel was helping me, you know, they're always there helping us. And I figured after a while it was the souls in purgatory reaching out, because there might have been something that I heard that they reach out sometimes for prayers.
These names that you were saying, would you then look them up and kind of see who is this person?
I think I did look them up once or twice.
Yeah.
And I think, oh yeah, you know, it's funny you should ask, because there was one that I looked up and the first thing that popped up was an obituary. And I thought, okay, you know, this is something. And so I would just pray for them. Yeah. And that's when I started to learn the rosary. And I would say a rosary. And this went on for like a few weeks. And then the next thing I know, I was starting to have dreams that were very vivid, almost like watching a movie.
Yeah.
They were very clear and detailed, and they came with like this knowing.
Had you ever had dreams like that in your life about random stuff, or was this first type of experiences with these types of dreams at all?
I've had dreams. I think if you want to say I've been given the gift of dreams, because periodically through my life, I've had some really amazing dreams. As a child, I remember having a dream about the Lord's coming. So it doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah.
But this was different. This was like seeing someone's life as they died. That's what was coming in.
Yeah.
And the first one, I think it was the first one that came in, was a young girl. Now I never see their faces. There was an instance where I did see someone's face, but I usually never saw their face. It's like I was allowed into the last moments of their life.
Gosh, which is,
and giving a knowing.
I mean, when you talk to people about dreams, that never really happens. You know, it's a dream about your own thing or about someone that you know, or just totally random. It's almost rare. I mean, at least I've never heard of it where people will say, I have a dream of another person's life. So you can tell that was the Lord giving that to you for this reason, obviously, to pray for them.
Yes. And it gave me great insight also into the Lord's mercy, in the sense that I was able to see the circumstances of their life in some ways, like with this young girl. I saw the bathroom, and I don't want to get too vivid here, but she was giving herself an abortion.
Yeah.
With a co-hanger in the bathtub. And I believe she accidentally killed herself, although I'm not sure. And I saw the bathroom. I saw the details in it. I could tell the time period because I also saw her father and her two brothers and the clothing that they were wearing. And one of her brothers came into the bathroom, and she was already passed. And I could tell from the way that the brother reacted that there was no love for her. They didn't love her. She had no love, no mother, and she had a father and two brothers that just despised her. And I remember them working in the field or doing something or hoeing in the garden. They said something about the priest is coming. And they were like trying to hide or something. The priest was coming, like he would come to visit, or maybe they called him. I don't know. But I could sense that this poor girl had no love at all, and she was not treated well. And she was in this circumstance of being pregnant, which I think put her in a state of horrible fear or something. And I felt like the Lord sees everything that goes on in our life, how it, you know, the things that we have to go through, are the love we were given, the lack of love. And he's a just judge. And so she ended up in purgatory. And this was probably around 2013 or 2012 or so, when these dreams started coming.
Yeah.
So you could see, knowing that she was reaching out and looked like she had passed maybe in the 1930s, I would say, by the clothing and the decor in the bathroom, maybe 1940s, I'm not sure. So you can kind of see in our time how long she was in purgatory. But then you hear the Bible says a day is like 1,000 years.
Yeah.
And so it seems like I'm sure it was just a very, very long time for her. And even now, as I'm talking about her, I can feel like you have this intense love for somebody. You know, the souls in purgatory know their longing for God is so immense. And we can only imagine that when we haven't seen a relative in so long, and we get excited and we're just like, oh, we want to see them so bad. Multiply that times a million, you can understand how desperate they are for a prayer or a mass.
Yeah, and it's so tragic that, you know, what could you hope for someone like that girl who would pray for her? You know, and if you come from a loving family, it could seem unthinkable that your family doesn't love you. But when you talk to enough people, probably more people are in that situation where they have this intense longing for God. They had all these bad things happen in their life. Those are a lot of the reasons why they sinned in the way that they did. And then no one's going to help them to where, how sad that, you know, 80 years later or 70 years later, finally, there's someone can hear, like in this case, you know, but just to think, gosh, we have to wait 60, 70 years to find someone to help us.
Yeah.
And it just breaks your heart.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, I've listened to a lot of near-death experiences, you know, and I also hear a lot of people say, like, there's no time over there. Everything is, there's just no time. It seems like there's nothing but time here. And so you hope, knowing that it's not too long for them, you know, because we measure time here. But nonetheless, I was able to see the time difference, you know, and it just kind of stuck out to me, you know.
Was it difficult to, for instance, like when you saw that, was it difficult to kind of bear that, to see that? I would imagine you'd be left thinking about it for days on end.
Really, you know? Bad for her in the sense that she didn't have any love, and the way that they treated her, even when her brother came into the bathroom and saw that she had died, there was no remorse at all. None whatsoever. And when that made me feel very, very sad for her.
In this case, when you would see, sometimes when I've talked to different people, they'll say that just upon seeing the person, that they get something of a sense of how much they should pray for them. Other times it's more vague. How did you go about praying for her? Did then something happen after you had prayed for her for some time?
I can't remember because it was a while ago, but I might have said more than just one rosary for her. Sure. At that time, I didn't know how to get a mass said for her. My first mass that I ever said for somebody, because I started to figure out the name thing, it just kind of clicked. If I didn't get a name and then I got a name, I thought, oh, with that name, I can have a mass said for that name. Because I thought to myself, well, if I just tell the priest or I go to the church, I'm having these dreams and I don't know their name and I want a mass said for them. It's like I didn't know what to do. And eventually I did go to a priest and tell him what was going on. And he said, if I got a name, have a mass. If I didn't get a name, say rosaries.
Yeah, which I think you had mentioned that in an email, which is incredibly wise advice, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, at first you don't know who to talk to about something like this because you don't want to seem like you're a cuckoo bird. Yeah. But it kept happening. And so... and then I finally went in. And so the first mass I ever had said for somebody, a soul in purgatory, was the famous baseball player Ty Cobb.
Yeah.
He. How
often were some of these dreams happening?
There were a couple a week. And then it would stop for a little bit. And then there'd be a couple more. So not like super regular, like every day.
Tell us about Ty Cobb.
Well, I knew his name immediately. Like I said, it was one of those mornings where I woke up and I was just repeating a name. And of course, I knew his name. I didn't know anything about him personally. You know, I just knew he was a famous baseball player because my son loves baseball and my husband loves baseball. And I'd hear him talk about him or something like that. And I thought, oh, wow, Ty Cobb. So I said a rosary. Well, at that time, I was part of the Divine Mercy group. And we would go, I think 3 times a week I was going. And before our group started the Divine Mercy chaplet, I would go into adoration. And so in adoration, it was quite hot that day and the air wasn't working. And I nodded off. And it just a little nod like that. But as soon as my head dropped, I had a vision of a man, like clear as a movie screen, throwing a baseball in an old uniform. Yeah. And I thought to myself, oh, it's that man again.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, he must need a mass, you know, because he was the only one that came twice. And I was interested in, I thought to myself, I'd like to know about this Ty Cobb. I didn't really know much about him, and I like biographies. So I clicked on Google and I looked at his biography. And the funny thing that stuck out to me was that he did have some sort of conversion before he died. He wasn't, I don't believe, Catholic, but he became kind of religious before he died.
Okay.
And but one thing that stuck out to me was that his ex-wife's name was Charlie. And that's what all my friends call me.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, how funny is that, you know? And I had a mass said for him. And after that, I didn't have him come, you know, or make himself present or known any after that.
I think in some of these, I'll hear this sometimes from different people that there'll be some connection between that person and them. And sometimes these connections can seem to us simple, you know, but for instance, they may be from the area where we're from. I know you live in California. Sometimes it could have been a family member. Sometimes it could be something as simple as like that we have a, you know, the same name as their wife or things like that, or that you loved baseball. Sometimes there's like some sort of door through which, you know, in some way we're related to them, even if it's an area of interest. So I always think that's beautiful how God uses that. He uses our human traits to connect us to people that we might think otherwise we have nothing to do with.
Yeah, we do. We have special connections. The one thing that stood, I think that I always remembered, and I felt like this was the case, was, if you hear any little noise, I have a little fan going, was when I was praying fervently at the very beginning with just tears and trying to help my family members and everything, and then purgatory, I had this feeling that when souls in purgatory, like they know this, it's like they get this almost like signal that there is somebody out there willing to help them. Like if you're almost like a soup kitchen, you know, where the hungry and the homeless are here, hungry and homeless go. They know that they can have some of their needs met. And I felt like that's what purgatory, the news kind of spreads like wildfire. Yeah. And the Lord allows them to reach out. Not everybody, of course, but certain ones, like you said, maybe there's a tie because they're connected through family heritage, something, you know, and just allows certain things to happen. But I felt like they are given this knowledge that there is this person willing to pray for you. And the Lord allows, whatever for His glory.
I love that idea. I think Maria Sima, someone that I've done a lot of videos about, said something very similar. She talked about that she did this special consecration to Our Lady, dedicating herself to the souls in purgatory, and that the souls in purgatory would describe the path to her as like lit up. You know, kind of like an open door, like someone that they could see, you know? And I think it's interesting that despite the fact that you didn't know hardly anything about your faith, you weren't instructed. And then it's like, they sort of hear, oh my gosh, someone is growing this love for the souls in purgatory, despite not knowing very much. We don't care. Let's go.
Yeah.
They have food. Let's run to them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it. So it's beautiful. Like what you said too, like this light, where Maria Sima said, and there's that Bible verse says, let your light shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. And it's like this, if we're allowing our light to shine in our day and our life, even the souls in purgatory can see that light.
Yeah, it's incredible. Or this other person that I interviewed was talking about how, you know, he was saying, recommending from his experience a St. Gertrude prayer. And he was saying, if you start praying that, they may start appearing to you. So,
yeah,
you know, tell us of some other experiences that you've had and what those have been like.
So did I write them down? Let me look really soon. I thought maybe I wrote some down not to forget. That must've been in the email I sent you. Yeah. Well, obviously the big one, Ty Cobb's pretty good. my husband, he never forgot that story about Ty Cobb. But
was it hard for him to believe you?
No, because he knows I was going to church and all the time, never missed a mass. And I was always going to Divine Mercy Chaplet. And I would just tell him, you know, this is what's happening. Yeah. He's Catholic, but he doesn't practice his faith. But yeah. I would always tell him, you know, this is what's going on. And he would listen and sometimes have a little joke, but but in a good way.
Yeah. So tell us about you're about to say.
So another name that popped up that was a big one that is very interesting was Judy Garland. So sometimes I would fall asleep saying the rosary, and I had blurted out and woke myself up, Judy Garland, as I was saying the rosary. And I thought to myself, that was weird, you know? And then I said, Judy Garland, oh my, you know? And in the morning when I woke up, I remembered that I had did that. And I asked the Lord in the quiet of my heart. You know, I sometimes ask the Lord something quietly in my heart as to not let the evil ones or, you know, and his minions know what I am holding in my heart, that it's just between me and Jesus. Yeah. So in the quiet of my heart, I said, could you give me a sign, you know, because Judy Garland, I was like, I wanted to know, you know. And I went to the grocery store, not having any idea what kind of sign to get, you know, that I would get. But as I walked into the grocery store, to the left of me, they have this little machine where the kids can put a quarter or 50 cents or whatever, and the claw comes down and pulls up, you know, they try to get a stuffed animal. And when I looked to the left, as I walked in, it was a little doll of Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz. And I thought, oh, wow. So I had a mass said for her.
Wow.
And
I'm sure, I mean, unless you're like a massive fan of The Wizard of Oz, she's probably not someone you think about a lot. And I can't remember the last time I saw a doll from The Wizard of Oz. I mean, maybe there are, but
yeah.
Definitely as if God was saying, look, this is not a coincidence. Please pray
for her. Because you see funny little stuffed animals, but it was a stuffed Judy Garland doll of her and Dorothy. And I knew that that was a sign. And so I had a mass said for her. And then I remembered as a child, I mean, not as a child, when my children were small, I would sing to them Over the Rainbow all the time in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Always sang that song. And when I was a little girl, I would play at the playground with my friends, and we would all act out The Wizard of Oz, and everybody wanted to be Dorothy, you know.
Yeah.
But what's interesting about Judy Garland, and then I did look at her bio, because then I started to get interested in sometimes the person's bio.
Yeah.
And I found out that she had died an accidental overdose, and that she was very troubled. In the sense that her life was just full of, you know, hardship and pain and addiction. And it wasn't until recently, because, you know, I don't watch a lot of television at all, or the news. but recently I heard a video that from her very young childhood and her times in Hollywood, she was treated terribly and introduced to all kinds of narcotics and things for weight loss and things. And from the get-go, she began her young teenage years in her early 20s already addicted.
Wow.
And when I saw her bio and I saw that she had passed by an accidental overdose, and I think probably alcohol, I thought to myself, oh, wow, you know, and so had the mass said for her. And then a few years ago, it's probably been 10 years, I connected with family members that I had never met. I did not grow up with my biological father. I had a stepfather, and I never knew that side of the family. Well, I found them through Ancestry.com and became friends with all of them. We're all on Facebook. And then I have this one cousin who pays for the subscription to Ancestry.com, where he has access to all more things than I do.
Yeah.
And he had messaged me, this was probably, I think, maybe 2 years ago. And he said, guess who we're related to? And I said, who? And he said, Judy Garland. Yeah. So there's that connection there, family.
You know, I we have like a, like as part of our channel, we have a rosary group that, that prays for your ancestors. During Lent, we've been doing this. And when you map out the tree, I mean, you could see how it extends really wide. So you could be, you really can be related to all types of people that you can't even imagine.
Yes. Yes.
It gets so complicated. So it doesn't surprise me that if you live over there, that, that somehow she's a cousin, you know, even if it seems maybe like outlandish to someone, it's not that far-fetched. We really are more related to people than we realize, but that's,
yeah, we are. We are.
That was like the door to you that she had.
Yeah. Yeah. And my mom, before she died, my mom died when I was barely 14. And before she died, she did the genealogy. And back in those days, she died in 1981. She had to mail information, request information. She had to do it all through the mail.
Wow.
And I always loved the idea of genealogy. Like, I'm fascinated with it. And so when I learned about Judy Garland, I just thought it was the coolest thing in the world, because I had that connection with her in purgatory and singing her songs when I was little, then finding out I'm related to her. I think we're fifth or sixth cousins. Uh-huh. It just gave me goosebumps.
And yeah, beautiful that you can then tie all that in and praying for her and helping her. And then I think maybe people hearing this and being inspired to pray for these people.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, these, I don't think, Ty Cobb, you know, I'm pretty sure he wasn't Catholic, and Judy Garland, I don't know. So even if they're not Catholic and they're Protestant, they need those prayers all the more, because in Protestantism, you know, all the religions outside of Catholicism, they don't have the dogma of purgatory. They just don't believe in it.
Yeah.
And to me, it made sense, you know, when I started learning about purgatory and I heard someone's experience, you know, Sandra Abrahams, I believe she said she was raised Catholic, but she wasn't living her faith. Mm-hmm. And she had her life review and everything, and it changed her life, and it made her a servant of God to go out and talk about purgatory. And it just drew her perfectly closer and closer to Christ and His Holy Mother Church.
One of the things I was thinking about kind of leading into this interview was how a lot of times, you know, we it's almost like we use these people, we listen to their music, we watch their athletic performance, we get entertained by their songs and their movies. And then what do we do after that? You know, do we pray for them for their conversion? I think a lot of times people just judge them as sinful people and vile and these things. And instead of thinking, you know what, these people, let me pray for them. If I like their music, let me pray for them, especially if they die, let me pray for their soul. Let me return the gift that they shared. I can be of service to them through my faith, even if it feels strange, but they're humans just like us. And a lot of times
we can't judge. If that's anything that I learned from having those insights and knowing, because some of the souls that have come to me committed suicide, like the girl in the bathtub.
Yeah.
Although I think hers was accidental. I felt like this was an accident.
Yeah.
But we can't judge at all, because, you know, we don't know the hardships, their life, their childhood, the everything. We just don't know.
Yeah. What would be thinking about all the different experiences? Because I know it could be difficult to kind of convey all of them, but what would be maybe a final thing you'd like to share with people from all the things you've seen of these experiences or other maybe insights you've gained in prayer? What would you say?
Well, some of the things that I took away from learning, you know, learned from the souls in purgatory, having those snippets of their life, like I believe do their purgatory on earth. There, I did see this woman that died in the Holocaust. Let me get a little drink of water here. She died in the Holocaust, and I saw her being, and I saw her going into the gas chamber, although I didn't see other people and I never see their faces. And I saw three Nazi men going in, like I could see the way they were. They were very proud. Like they just, it was really sad and hard to explain. It was just terrible. And she died in the gas chamber and she was trying to claw her way out. And I saw her in the dream. I saw her clawing her way out, and then it was her spirit left her body and it found its way into a home, a big, beautiful home. And she entered this home. I think she was trying to find safety because all I could feel when I saw this happening is that she needed to get away. She was so scared and horrified and just trying to claw her way out and trying to hide. Yeah. And I didn't have her name, so I just said a rosary, maybe more than one for her. But I felt like in some of these instances where I had seen their snippets of their life, that some of these souls end up, they're in purgatory, but they seem to be kind of earthbound, where others, yeah, I felt like they were in a realm.
Yeah.
And I think it's sometimes it's the tragedy of their passing, yeah, and things like that. I remember a priest talking in a video one time, and that's when it started to kind of make sense to me, was the priest was saying he was on the grounds of where he lived and resided in the church, the little parish. And he looked over into the field across the way and he saw an Indian man walking, just quietly walking. And he ended up saying prayers. He might have even said a mass for this, but he kind of had this knowing that Indian was earthbound. They were so enthralled with something. Like I believe he said that this Indian man was trying to find his daughter. Something had happened. She disappeared and he was trying and he was so desperately, he couldn't do anything in his life. That's all he could think of was finding her. And so the priest felt like this was what had led him to be earthbound, something holding him here.
Yeah.
And so I had those kind of experiences or knowings with certain types of souls. Like the girl in the Holocaust, the woman in the Holocaust. And then there was a little girl where I saw she was murdered. And this dream, I saw the man who did it. And now that I'm thinking about this man, I might have said a prayer for this man that he would change or convert. But now that I'm bringing it up, I feel like my guardian angel says, don't forget about this man, pray for him. But I saw the man kill her, and her spirit, because it was so tragic, I saw it leave and go to somewhere else, a school where she probably went to school because she felt safe at that school.
Yeah.
And that's where her spirit went. And I don't know, but I said a prayer for her. And that was a strange one for me as well. That was the first time I kind of saw something really kind of like, ooh, I saw the man's face. I saw what he did. I saw her spirit go to the school. And it really kind of troubled me. And I wanted to, again, I asked the Lord, could you give me a sign? And that day when I went to go pick up my son at baseball or something, I think I might have asked the Lord, could you send me this little sign here? Because then I'll know. I didn't know what to, expect. And I asked for the sign and it came. So, that was one of those experiences where I felt like a soul was kind of earthbound.
Yeah. It's interesting how, although we know, and in some ways, I mean, we see this even with the church's teaching on in heaven, that we know that heaven exists, but if you were to ask even knowledgeable Catholics, give me 15 facts about heaven, They'd be like, they'd run out, you know, by number five or six. In other words, there's a lot we don't know. And there's a lot of things that we don't know about when someone dies. For instance, why some souls in purgatory, why are they, like hauntings, for instance, is something that, you know, why does it manifest like that? And then, some do their purgatory in purgatory, others on earth, you know, and then the topic of limbo is still to where you don't have to believe it, but you're able to. And so we're basically like the church's official answer is we're not really sure, you know, even though we've had people discuss this. So there's a lot of these kind of things that are really mysterious. But when you,
Maria Sima so much, because she was gifted with a lot of knowledge that she was able to share in her book, Get Us Out of Here. Yeah. I remember just reading that book and just like, I loved it because it allowed me to understand more of this aspect of, you know, purgatory and praying for them and everything.
Yeah. And I think it's important for us to have the knowledge, because when we don't, then people, we just say, oh, we don't know. Then people come in and fill in the information with false information, you know?
Yeah.
And we need to know, you know, for instance, like understanding how we had this case where someone was telling another person in our rosary group that the reason why she had her anxiety is because of how her grandfather and great grandfather were murdered, you know, that she was left with the anxiety of their victims or something like that. Cause they were involved in a blood feud. And when she had masses offered for their souls, her anxiety that she'd had her whole life lifted within a week, you know?
So
that idea, and it makes sense that we're connected to these people, which is why it's important to pray for them if they're in purgatory, because we're attached to them in some way. And if they're not free, then in some sense, neither are we.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I thought about last night, you know, having to come here on your show, and I was thinking more in depth of things. And I was thinking of Saint Therese. You know, I love Saint Therese, and she taught the little way, you know, the little things. And lately, Mother Teresa's has been standing out for me, because I had a little tiny miracle and confession with Mother Teresa. And there's so much that I want to do, because I always remember lately that Jesus said, you know, did you clothe me when I was naked? Did you visit me in prison? And, you know, did you feed me when I was hungry? And I think to myself, gosh, I wish I could do more, you know? You know, and then I thought to myself, this thought dropped in that I'm visiting someone in prison, because purgatory is like a prison. And I'm feeding the hungry, because they're so hungry to see the face of God. And so, because sometimes we just can't go out and do the things that Mother Teresa did and so many others, but we can do this in a little way by offering masses and prayers and your day and your sufferings for them.
And in some ways, this little way might end up being an opportunity for us to help in a much bigger way than we would have, you know, if we had physically been going to soup kitchens. We could at any given moment be praying for millions, if not more, souls in purgatory.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's so much that we can do. Because so many people say, what can I do? I have no power. I can't stop the war, you know? And then I think about Our Lady of Medjugorje, how she said that fasting can stop wars. And, you know, there's all these things that we can do that are little things, you know, that have great results if you give them to Our Lady and you give them to Jesus. You know, and the power of the mass is just, there's nothing like it, you know?
Yeah. Amen. Charlene, wow. This is awesome. I hope, again, for all those listening, I hope this touches you. I hope to have you on again to share more experiences, because it sounds like we're just, you know, touching on the tip of the iceberg here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's been wonderful. I mean, I've just recently found your channel, and I was watching an interview that you just recently had with an elderly gentleman from Ireland, I think. I forget his last name or his name. He went to Medjugorje. He saw the souls in purgatory. And I just fell in love with him. And I thought, oh, this is a fantastic channel. And then I realized your channel is purgatory centered. And that's when I decided, you know, to reach out. And it's been wonderful meeting you. And it's just, it's bringing me more closer to the devotion of souls in purgatory. And increasing my faith again.
Well, wonderful. Well, I hope that God sends more souls in purgatory to you to help so that you can come and share more about it.
Yeah, I do. I have a few, some amazing other stories to tell you. And you just say the word and I'm here.
I will. Well, Charlene, why don't we finish by praying a Hail Mary for the souls in purgatory and entrusting this whole interview to Our Lady.
Yes, let's.
Okay. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed Mother, we give this to you. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, God bless you. You're welcome, Charlene. Thank you for joining us, and I'll see all of you in the next one.